This call may be recorded. Press 1 to accept.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
I wanted to find out if there was anything planned for Sam's birthday and if I was invited, and if not, if I could spend time with him some other time.
Well, what day do you want to come?
Is there something planned for his birthday?
Well, we gotta wait. Hold on just a second. We have to wait for the, to say it's not done. Thanks. No. I think it'll be only about 12 minutes. So I'm going to play for about 12 minutes. Okay.
Hello. Okay.
Hey, sorry about that. I mean, I think, you know, since obviously we can't, like, invite other people over, we're just celebrating his birthday. I told him we'd start Friday, but he's wanting to bake cakes tomorrow so that they'll be ready to decorate on Friday.
Okay.
I have a pinata for at some point, and but the bounce, my mom had a bounce house certificate, and they said if we used it on Friday, it's only one day, but if you pick it up Saturday morning, you get to keep it for 2 days. So we decided we might as well just wait and get it Saturday instead.
Sure.
So just in terms of, like, eating cake might happen, like, on Friday. But the bounce house is here on Saturday and Sunday, and then I hadn't really decided about the pinata, and I wasn't going to go out of my way to cram everything into 1 hour like you have to when you're having friends over. But I can if you need me. I can if you need me to. Or I can try at least. He'll probably want to eat his cake on Friday. Or you know what? You could do both. You could tell me what time you're going to be home from work Friday, and I'll save blowing out the candles for then. And then, do you want to pick up and set up the bounce house, or do you want me to do that Saturday morning?
I can do it.
Okay. You can do that, and that way, once you get it set up, you can, you know, be the first to bounce with Sam on it.
Okay. And then the other thing was, I kind of got the impression that your therapist is just trying to talk us into okaying a divorce.
I don't know. I mean, I think the question why don't you get a divorce would be the right question to ask to figure out, like, why it's important to you to stay married and why it is worth it.
The strategy is to try and help us stay married. It'd be kind of strange to me to ask that question in the first 5 minutes of starting your therapy with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I know a bunch of those relationship therapists view that as their primary role.
What?
Talk people into splitting up.
Uh-huh. man, no, that's not his primary role. I know that for sure. So no. I think he's trying to figure out how he can possibly help us.
Okay.
But I'm, you know, what you picked up on for me is that I don't see anything in you that's really wanting to fundamentally change or really self-examine or really become more aware of what whatever it is that's going on inside of you that leads to you making really bad decisions and engaging in really destructive behavior. I don't get the impression that that's your goal. When you talk about,
I don't know how you can say that when I've literally spent the past, what is it even now, for almost 5 months doing just that?
It seems like everywhere you go, you have this goal to get people to say that you must be something wrong with your wife. She has such rigid thinking. Must be something wrong with your wife. She always thinks she's right. You have to tell us. That was like your only goal today was to convince Matt that your wife can't see somebody else's perspective. That's not what you've been, you haven't been working the last 4 months on trying to figure out what your demons are and what causes you to do such destructive behavior. In fact, you're not even trying because you don't see your behavior as destructive. So if you don't see a problem...
I've identified lots of destructive behavior and we've talked about it extensively.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I really don't. I don't. I'm sorry.
We talked about the financial decisions that I made. We talked about the time that I spent away from our family.
You told me that we haven't been financially irresponsible. That's what you told me. You told me that it's because of you that we have such a high net worth, and that net worth is what shows that you've been financially responsible, and that by recalculating that once a week, you were making sound financial decisions with our debts. That's what I've been hearing from you.
I both said that because that's just data. But I've said that I've made decisions that didn't make sense.
I know. That's exactly. Oh, I've made individual decisions. But overall, I haven't been financially irresponsible. So I absolutely don't in any way feel like you've recognized the demon that led to that extraordinarily destructive behavior. I think that you just think that you miscalculated a couple of times. You don't see that every moment, day and night, while you were awake, while you were asleep, everything you were doing, every second, was horrifically, selfishly awful for your family. Hold on just a sec.
Yeah, that just means it's
starting. I think we still have 5 minutes left, okay? Sorry about that. Okay. I agree with your sentiment. I made lots of decisions that I should not have made that were horrible for our family, and I regret.
And regarding your time away from the family, you want to say that that was some, like, teamwork, groupthink that we both had and strategized together, and it was equally your and my calculation and preference and decision, and that's simply not the case. You don't look at the extent to which I had no say. And if you're not willing to accept that I didn't have a choice in the matter.
I don't understand
then you're
why
not
you
really
say you
owning it. Because just yesterday you said, I'm not working at Fidelity. That's, so it's not, you can't say that I, like, actually have a voice or have ever, I mean, Allison said, well, look at what happened when we did ask him to quit his job. That's a great point. Okay, well, look at what happened when we did ask him to try to cut back his hours to, I don't even remember, was it 10 a day, I think? Like, it wasn't even, I think, what was it?
It was 40 hours a week.
No, that's not true, because I think what we said was, if you're leaving at, oh, that's true, because we were counting your commute time. But anyways, gone from your family, 50 hours a week. So, and just saying, when it comes to me going, okay, let me draw a line in the sand. As your wife, this is just too destructive. This right here has to stop. And I'm not going to tell you how to figure it out, but you've got to find a way to whatever, work this many hours. Or you've got to find a way to quit working for American Classic Homes. Or, you know, I'm not like being controlling or dictatorial, but when I say like this does not work for me, you recognize that you never had any intention of, and that if I look back historically, it's like, yeah, there's, every time my alarm bells went off and I knew that you were doing something that wasn't good for us, if I tried to speak up, you would talk down to me in a way that made it clear that it wasn't an option to consider my perspective, it wasn't an option to do things my way, it wasn't wise, it wasn't intelligent. My strategy was off. It wouldn't lead to success. The only way would be this. The only way would be that. I hadn't made any of those decisions. All I did was the only thing that's allowed in a marriage to Dustin Dufault, which is support him and lay down my actual own life for him. Like, cease to pursue my own dreams of being able to be a good mom who can spend time with my kids and focus on their growth and development. Give up my dreams of having a household that's orderly and safe and comfortable to want to spend time in. That, like, all of that just had to completely go out the window, and because there wasn't room for that to exist in a marriage to you. It wasn't allowed, and I did try in the most respectful way a wife can appeal to a husband for the well-being of herself and her children. I appealed to you respectfully, and I was shut down every time. So I don't feel like you have had a heart change relative to your financial irresponsibility. I don't feel like you've had a heart change relative to your time away from your family. I don't feel like you've owned those things. I don't feel like you're willing to look at the deeper issues that cause them, and I don't feel like you're willing to see how you not just made a mistake for yourself, but how you sinned against me in doing those things. So, and for me, like, proof in the pudding is you're still engaging in those kinds of controlling behaviors. Like, still, nothing has changed.
I don't know what
nothing
you mean, but
I mean, like, when you decided that you needed to hide documents from me and get them shredded before I could look at them, because you know what's best, and you know that it's
documents
best for me.
Weren't hidden from you, Erin.
I know.
I gave you the
yes,
real documents.
I was not allowed to. I'm not talking about what you gave me. I never even asked for what you gave me, and you know it. I didn't ask for those papers because I thought they had financial data on them. That's absurd to say that I wanted the financial data. How would I know what was on the papers if I hadn't even seen them? All I know is that you were being a bully. All I know was that in a marriage, you shouldn't be hiding papers from one another. All I know is that you were behaving aggressively towards me and unkindly towards me and trying to make me feel bad, and even today to a third party, trying to make me look bad. like a bad, violent, aggressive, overbearing person for something that no husband I know would have tried to hide from his wife. You're still doing that, and you still feel entitled to do. You did. You feel entitled to do what you did. Nothing has changed in your heart if right now, on the phone, you're telling me that that was an acceptable behavior.
No, I'm sorry that I didn't give you the papers.
I'm going to go inside with the kids right now. You're sorry because you got caught.
No, it's not because I got caught.
Yep.
It's not because I got caught. It's because it hurts you, and I don't want to hurt you.
No. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. Oh. You're going to go through the rest of your life doing actually terrible, sinful things to me that other men
don't
do to their wives. You do. You think the only thing that's wrong is the fact that your sensitive wife got her feelings hurt. I got to tell you something, Dustin. My feelings are not hurt at all. It doesn't make me sad that you did that to me. It doesn't make me feel unappreciated that you did that to me. It doesn't make me feel bad about myself that you did that to me. I just know.
I wanted to make you feel bad about yourself.
I'm
genuinely
sorry
I didn't let you give the paper.
I know, because it hurt me. You're sorry because it hurt me. So you want to imagine the problem with the behavior is simply my sensitivity. You want to imagine that the problem with the behavior is that it hurt your wife. You shouldn't have done it, and you wouldn't have done it if you had known it would hurt your wife. I'm not hurt.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't have done it if I had known it would hurt
you. But I'm not. I'm not hurt. Hear me. I am not hurt. So the problem with the behavior cannot possibly be that I'm hurt when I'm not hurt. The problem with the behavior is only that the behavior was wrong, and the behavior was aggressive, and the behavior was controlling, and the behavior was bad, and the behavior showed that you had a lack of trust in me, and the behavior showed that I cannot have trust in you. That's a behavior that on its own is bad and shows a major character deficit. There is no place for that kind of abusive behavior in a marriage. My feelings are not hurt.
Well, I'm sorry that I was aggressive with you. I'm sorry that I didn't give you the papers, and I will give you
because you got caught.
Papers.
Not because you're looking
not
inward
because
to
I
find
got
out.
Caught.
Not because you're looking inward to find out what demons you have in your soul that would cause you to do something that erratic. You're sorry because you're being held accountable for it.
No.
But you'd be fine if you're actually being willing to be held accountable for everything, but that's clearly not the case.
Why that?
Because you take the men who love you enough to help you see these things that are not really hard to see. They're just plainly apparent. And you say that they have really high opinions of themselves and want to wield the church power in this bizarre way that is heavy-handed and not reasonable and not really willing to...
I didn't say any of that. That's not what I said.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't say any of that.
Okay. I heard you say they had high opinions of themselves. And I heard you say that they
do. They have such high opinions of themselves that
they
have conflicts among themselves.
They don't, Dustin. That's not because of their high opinions of themselves. People have different opinions about things because people are different. But your behavior is not something to really have an opinion about. If someone sees your behavior, it's plainly apparent.
If it was plainly apparent, they would be able to characterize it, and they do not ever bother.
They have. That's not true. So the fact that you're lying about that shows me that you're not serious about humbling yourself to get accountability. If you're not serious about humbling yourself to get accountability...
Several times this week already. So you're thinking
You haven't.
Yes, I have.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
No, you haven't.
Same in a false.
You haven't, Dustin. No, you haven't. You went to CA for advice?
So,
are you saying that you went to CA for advice?
Yeah.
That is not submitting yourself to accountability.
I submitted myself to accountability, and he can tell you so.
No, you are not submitting yourself to accountability.
That literally happened this week with CA.
No. No.
Your statement is incorrect, Aaron.
I'm telling you, Dustin, if it's only on the things that you decide that you want to have people see that you're being accountable for, that's completely different.
No.
What did you say?
Huh?
What did you say? I didn't.
I said if it's only on the things where you've decided that you want to go out of your way to choose to prove to people that you have accountability, that's completely different than accepting it when people come to you with something that you don't want to hear and don't want to do. And don't
do. He didn't do that. I came to him.
That's what I just said.
I can't help that.
If you're the one, I know, but that's you. That's you deciding that there's something that you want. You've already decided before you even went to him that you wanted to do that thing. So,
well, he didn't come to me. I don't know what to tell you. He didn't come to me.
Saying.
I went to him.
That's what I'm saying. So, that's what I'm saying. But the people who have come to you in the past, you are saying all these things that show that you're not actually willing to be accountable to them.
No. I'm willing to be accountable to them where it's possible.
But if you're not willing to do it where it counts, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you take these micro things and say, I'll do this, but not that. Oh, and on that, no, they're completely all think too highly of themselves. Okay, I'll do it on this because that's something I want to do and makes sense to me. But I won't do that on that because that does not make sense to me. And they're not characterizing.
Okay, so where is the barrier of my existence versus their existence? Because it doesn't sound like you really want me to be a person at all.
Well, I think that you are too badly deceived, and I think that your perceptions of yourself and your own behavior are too warped to be able to trust you to make decisions for yourself.
And so you want what to have happen?
Well, I 1,000% would have expected that you would have listened to Aaron the first time he told you and gone home and done everything in your power to figure out how to cut back your hours. That's something that I would do if somebody came to me that dead serious and said, I see sin in your life, and this is not going to fix it, but this is just like the first tiny, teeny, tiny step that you need to do. And I would do it. I just would. I wouldn't be worried about, does that make me cease to be a person? I wouldn't be
worried
about.
There's no rationale or explanation to think that Aaron Bell should make my decisions for my life. Actual basis for that.
I know. I'm telling you what I would do if someone came to me and they were that serious about being sin in me and worried that it was going to destroy my marriage and destroy my home. That's just what I would do. And I think that where I get that from is not from like a lack of wanting to be my own person. I think where I get that from is my interpretation of the Proverbs and the Gospels and the Epistles. I take those teachings pretty seriously, and I think that being a core part of who I am causes me to choose humility, and me to be willing to hear the counsel of the wise. And I think that your values are maybe very different than that. And I don't see that that's something that you want to change at all.
I disagree with that. I followed all of their advice closely as physically possible. Yes, it is.
That's not true. You work at American Classic Homes, Dustin.
Okay, well, they told me not to quit after they told me to quit. So you're right. I didn't follow it at first. Now I'm following it. I
disagree.
You disagree? Why?
Because I don't think that they're telling you to call me on the phone and insist that you've changed and insist that you weren't hiding papers from me and, like, any of the stuff that you're saying.
Nobody.
Any of this stuff.
One way or another, do not talk to me other than CA. You did give me advice and I did follow it.
Well, so you haven't repaired those relationships? You haven't had a heart of repentance toward them? You're not broken at how you misused their advice in the past? You're not broken that they can't trust you anymore, to know that the advice they give you isn't going to be used against your wife? You're not broken about any of the bad things that you've said about their character?
Didn't say any bad things about their character.
I mean, you're misrepresenting, like, the fact you're saying that they couldn't characterize your behavior at all. And that's not true. I heard them characterize your behavior.
I've asked them repeatedly.
I heard them characterize your behavior ad nauseum. So you're saying things about them that are untruthful.
They characterize my personality without characterizing my behavior to give any sort of credence to their opinion about my.
That's not true. I've heard them characterize your behavior many times.
I have not, and I have asked. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I've heard it too much to believe what you're saying.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you may. Yes, you may.
Well, it strikes me that with his face doesn't seem at all interested or able to resolve any of these things that we disagree about.
Well, what are you wanting him to do?
Yeah, I'm not wanting him to do anything specifically other than whatever he could do therapeutically to resolve that. So if it would be get us to a place where we recognize that we have disagreements, and
that's what you want to get me to. You're already at that place. But that's
I'm already at that place where it's totally non-functional.
You're already
not at that.
Yeah, but
place.
I know, but you're completely 100% okay with us having different opinions and different perspectives and different stories about what has occurred. You've been okay with that all along.
I don't know if I'm okay with it. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you've told me many times you're okay. You've told me so many times that you're okay with that. That you just want me to be okay with it.
I'm okay as far as I'm not going to divorce you. That doesn't mean that I'm not sad that you claim that everything that I do is abusive and that I haven't had any positive impact in our family and marriage and finances.
I don't.
Every time we communicate.
I don't. Just because I Yeah, just because I tell you the specific things that you are doing that are sinful and destructive doesn't mean that I'm saying that everything you do is sinful and destructive. Like, that's the reason
I'm talking about your characterization of me.
Right, but I'm telling you the
pretty much every time we communicate characterization.
Right, but I'm telling you the specific behaviors. Right? I'm telling you this.
Well, you're telling me generalizations of your opinion of my behavior, such as your behavior in general relative to managing our finances has only depleted our wealth, whereas my behavior in general relative to our finances has done everything that has increased our wealth. Those aren't specific behaviors. They're just generalizations about your opinion about things without any sort of facts to back up the opinion. It's just
that I'm talking about spending money that you don't have. That's not true. But your house is only worth what you actually. Your house is only worth what you actually sell it for.
That's not true.
That's the reason that you had to pay the interest on it. That you had to pay on it. If you had actually sold the house to purchase
you pay interest because you got a loan to make the purchase at a certain
price. You've got interest when you have interest rates at 15%, 22%, 30%, and you're paying late fees on those cards because you can't make the payment. You need to actually sell the house before you make that purchase if you want to use the equity of the house to justify making the purchase. It's no longer justified.
These are opinionated statements.
No, it's math. I'm talking about math. I'm talking about the interest rates and the late fees that you're paying that is greater than... It's a behavior. I don't mean for you to think that I'm making generalizations. I think that we're both pretty good at math. And I think that when we talk about financial irresponsibility, I think you know at least some of the specific behaviors that I have in mind. But I'm sorry if I overgeneralize, and I'm sorry if I assume that you could connect the dots and know which behaviors I was referring to. I don't ever want you to think that I think that these are immutable characteristics of your personality.
No, you do.
I think you can change.
When
I say that it's a generalization, it
is a generalization because despite the fact that we have a very positive net worth that far outweighs others in our age group, the characterization of my financial management is such that you're saying that I've done nothing but destroy wealth. That's a generalization.
I'm saying that I thought that you are financially literate enough to connect the dots and know which behaviors I'm thinking of that drained our net worth. And I was thinking that you are financially literate enough to connect the dots and think of the behaviors that I, as your wife, have engaged in that have raised our net worth, and I am sorry.
I haven't ever claimed that some of your behaviors haven't contributed to our family situation, but I'm saying that you are saying that none of my behaviors have contributed to our family situation, which is a generalization and mathematically provably completely false.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not, because if we continued working at Fidelity Investment, we would still own South 18th Street because the rent on that has been paying the mortgage on it since you quit Fidelity. If you quit your job at Fidelity Investments, we would
You don't have
still,
some right to me working as a stockbroker our entire life. Like,
I'm not saying I have a right to it. I'm comparing the decision that I would have made for you.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with me contributing or not contributing to our net worth and our family. You're just taking an arbitrary job that was intolerable and expecting me to measure up doing something that was never going to happen and never intended to happen for more than 6 months.
No, you just told a lie. The lie that you told was the lie that I expect you to do that. That was a lie. Don't ever tell that lie again because it's not true. I don't expect you to do that, and I never did expect you to do that. But I'm giving you a
baseline. Why are we talking about it right now?
Because I'm giving you a baseline on which you can compare
an arbitrary baseline.
What I'm,
nothing to do
okay,
with it.
Okay, let me give you an arbitrary baseline, okay? Let's use the arbitrary baseline of you still working at Fidelity Investments. You, we would still own... No, it's not. It's completely appropriate.
Yes, it is.
You would, no,
there's
it's
no,
not, because
no
there's nothing...
scenario in which I was going to work at Fidelity Investments.
I know, but you can't take any of the activity that you did outside of that or after that and show that that activity...
That's not true. That's what actually happened.
If you had not quit working at Fidelity Investments, we would still
have...
I did
quit working at Fidelity Investments.
I know. I'm trying to show you a baseline. And you against the baseline, you won't be able to argue...
That's not a baseline, Aaron. There's no baseline that imagines that I had some responsibility to maintain an intolerable job.
Baseline is that you stayed home playing video games. Listen, baseline is you stayed home playing video games and hardly paid our kids any attention emotionally while I went and worked as a teacher. Let's let that be the baseline, okay? Because I'm not expecting you to do anything except not go out and blow our money. So if you just stay home and I give you a $25 video game budget per month, okay, we still own South 18th Street and you're not doing anything, right? We still own Stanley Drive and you're not doing anything, right? We still own North 14th Street, and you're not doing anything, right?
And?
We live at Bonnie Oaks Drive, and I make plenty of money to pay that mortgage and buy groceries and pay the utilities.
That would actually be incorrect, but assuming it was correct, you would still be making less money than me.
I didn't say I need to make more money than you.
Okay.
But I'm saying we wouldn't have...
I gotta go to the store before they close.
We wouldn't have the $150,000 in debt. We would just have a simple salary and a simple lifestyle that allows us to pay our own bills, and we would still have the net worth of all these houses, and you wouldn't have to subtract all the credit card debt from it.
No.
I'm just doing math.
You didn't work during that time, Aaron. It's a completely
different
scenario where you're saying if I had worked,
but
you didn't
work. But I didn't choose.
I worked.
You did not work. But I didn't choose for you to go and blow $150,000.
First of all, I didn't blow it. Second of all, most of that's tied up in assets now. Third of all, that just shows that I was the one producing cash flow.
No. You won't speak to me that way. I was not sitting here playing video games, and you know it.
Nobody said that you were, and nobody's claiming that you didn't contribute to our net worth. It's just preposterous to say that the person that earned the money and did the work
didn't
contribute to our net worth. That's
preposterous. That's preposterous. You were blowing money.
You were blowing money.
Have you sold the cameras?
Well, have I what?
Sold the cameras?
Not yet.
Okay, so all these assets that our net worth is tied up in, we're paying high interest on. You have to subtract the interest that you're paying every single day of your life. And
nobody's denying that.
So you blew our wealth. That's something that I wouldn't have done, but you know what? The fact that I stayed home with our kids, that is what allowed you to go to work. And if you chose to go and work somewhere at Fidelity Investments while I was here, then guess what? I would have been 50% responsible for the money you were getting from Fidelity because I was the one enabling you to not have to be here with the kids. That was money earned. For a household.
So that person responsible for the other 50% would be who?
If you worked at Fidelity Investments, it would have been you.
Okay.
But you
That's
chose
because we're
to
married and we're both responsible.
Well, I can't continue to be held responsible for your poor decisions. And Nobody ever has asked me to. Yeah, you are. Right now, you're telling me that all these decisions that you've made that were terrible, I'm halfway responsible for. I'm not okay doing that anymore. I wouldn't. None of those decisions that you made that I'm evidently 50% responsible for were my decisions,
None of them are decisions that I would have made. None of them are decisions that, in my overall opinion, I thought were wise. And so over the next 5 years, I don't want to continue to be held responsible for 50% of what you do. You're not a person who I trust.
Nobody's claimed that you're responsible for things that I do.
You just said that I was 50% responsible for everything that's happened so far because it's a marriage. In a marriage, both people are 50%
responsible. You said you're 50%
responsible
for my income.
Yeah, but I'm saying I wouldn't have chosen for you to go and do what you did. I would have chosen for you to work at Fidelity. So I'm happy to be held 50% responsible for enabling you to spend the time outside of our home. But if you're not spending that time outside of the home in a way that I said is the best way to spend it, then I can't be responsible for the way that you chose to spend that time outside of the home. But the number of hours that I gave you way outside of the home, like, if you take 40 hours a week at Fidelity and, like, multiply that times 2 or multiply that times 3, because you're actually spending, you know, 80 and 120 hours a week outside of our house, like, that's how much I've invested, right? My earnings has been a triple Fidelity salary as I worked here at home to enable you to spend that much time elsewhere. And you did not earn a triple Fidelity salary each year. And I'm not upset about that. You know that it's not about money for me, and I'm happy to be destitute. I'm happy to be homeless. I'm happy to be barely making it or paycheck to paycheck or whatever I have to be for my family and to support my husband and to do what we can for our kids. I'm happy to. But the way you spoke to me on the phone today, I'm just not comfortable with anymore. I didn't.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to do that.
I didn't. No, every day of my life, Dustin. Every day. I'm not okay with this. I'm getting to the point I don't want this.
Well, I don't want this either, but...
No, you're choosing it. You choose it every day. Yeah, the way you speak to me, it's a choice that you're making.
I'm trying to figure this out so that we don't have problems. Not doing it because I want to prove you wrong and me right, or for us to keep doing what we've been doing, which has been horrible for both of us, I think.
I don't know. I mean, I'm starting to feel like there's nothing I can do to help you. You know, I am saddened when I hear you say that I'm making generalizations because I've worked so hard for so many hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours with you to be so specific with you and so patient with you and so direct with you. Makes it seem very, very, very fruitless.
Well, I guess the part I don't get is it seems like this therapist says, well, you can't fix that sort of thing anyway, unless I'm missing something.
What sort of thing?
The back and forth between us where you say that something happened one way and I say it happened a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I got that impression too.
So I think what you were saying is, well, you would be happy for that to just be the way it is. And I was saying that doesn't necessarily make me happy, but it's not something.
But
that
you understand.
You understand.
I know you understand that you were claiming that that is the problem. You're going to Matt saying, Matt, the problem is that we have different perceptions of what happened. And that's what we need to fix. We need to get on the same page. And I need, you know,
well,
we need to
Aaron,
agree
okay,
about
so
what
the,
happened. And I'm saying, no, I don't
think
that's
the treading
the
papers as an example. Do you understand
yeah.
that I'm not trying to violate you by shredding meaningless papers? Like, I would not do that.
No, you absolutely did. You did. And if you're not going to admit
that. You didn't
that,
appreciate.
It's not that I didn't appreciate it. It's that that's abusive. That's not an okay thing for any man to do to any woman in a marriage. It's not. This is not my feelings about it. It's actually not okay.
Well, then that's what we need help with, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying
no,
to.
No, you. This is all you. It's completely 100% you have to figure out what weird demons live inside of you that make you feel entitled to do stuff like that. That's not normal. That's you've got so much work to do on yourself that doesn't involve me in any way.
Well, I don't see it that way. I don't
because there's nothing about
that's what I'm
me.
Trying to tell you. I didn't shred our meaningless papers to hurt you. I did not do that to hurt you.
I'm not hurt. It did
not
hurt me. It did not
okay,
hurt
well,
me.
Well, to violate
I
you or
hurt.
Abuse you or whatever, I'm saying I didn't do it to do something to you. I did it because we said we were going to do it.
Yeah, but my perception of it is not the problem. The behavior is the problem. You feel entitled to do stuff like that. It's extremely controlling, and there's nothing that I can do about that. I couldn't have approached you in a way that would have been gentle and loving enough to make you feel safe showing me the papers. Like, there's zero, absolute zero on my end that's going to help with that.
Well, there's no way for me to formulate some imaginary scenario that upsets you that I have no concept of.
It did not upset me. It's just
or violate you or whatever.
No, but it's not. It has nothing to do with my perception, Dustin. It's just this is just in you. This is it's not that you
yeah,
need
but
to
that's
go
what
around
I'm saying. It's not in me. It's not in me. So
yes,
if it's
it
in
is.
You,
yes, it is.
Then
it's not in me. It's not in me. It's in you.
Well, it's definitely not in me. I can't.
Yes,
if
it
I,
is.
If
so,
I understood the problem, I wouldn't
that.
Do it in the first place.
That's why you can't devalue and degrade people like Aaron Bell. Because there's something wrong with you that lets you see these really bizarre things that you say and really bizarre things that you do that are really controlling and really odd and really destructive. So when you've got someone who's willing to take the time to tell you what you need to do differently, that's not really somebody that you can afford to, like, damage your relationship with. Or, like, that's the person that you need to bow down to and put on a pedestal and hang on to their every word because they've got some common sense that you don't.
Okay. When, honestly, when you say stuff like this, it just makes me think, well, what are we hanging on to here? It doesn't. You have zero regard for me.
Just because I don't think that these things are unchangeable.
So you go to Honey
Think that what?
I don't think that these things are unchangeable. I think you could change these things. But you want to view this as some, like, part of your who you are, but it's just sin. So if you're taking sinful behavior and saying, like, this is who I am, so if she doesn't like this sinfulness, that means she doesn't like me as a person, then you have a completely different perspective on human behavior than I do. You have a completely different perspective on the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life over time than I do. So I like you. I know all of your sin. I know what you've done.
Right, but that's the point. You
like
don't
you.
Like it.
I don't like the behavior, but I don't think that your behavior is who you are. I think your behavior is this decision that you're making that I can only pray you're going to be delivered from. But you don't seem to have any desire to stop sinning. You don't seem to have any desire to take off the blinders. You don't seem to have any desire to become more holy over the course of your life. But it sounds to me like you're saying, this is who I am. This is my core personhood. And I don't want to have to listen to somebody else's judgment about what I should do, because if somebody else says I shouldn't be doing this and I want to do that, then that means that I cease to exist as a person.
Well, that basically is true, but...
Right, but that's what being a Christian is. Like, if you got saved, that was when you ceased to be a person. That was
right.
When you...
Like, except it only works for me, and if I ever... I don't...
No, because I'm not pursuing my own will and my own, you know, selfish desires, and I'm pursuing what is right and good. It's not right and good to be angry that somebody wants to see a paper. It is right and good to share things like that within a marriage when you're financially and emotionally supposed to be dependent upon one another. Like, I'm studying the Bible, I'm pursuing godliness, I'm laying aside what I would want and seeking to do what is healthy and what pleases the Lord for our household. And I'm going to continue after that.
Because what you want is to leave at this point?
That is what would... At this point, yeah, that is what would be the best for our children. Because you've got a really, really, really long path of change ahead of you, and after all this time of me telling you the exact problems and specific behaviors and ways to go about it, you're telling me that I haven't told you the specific behaviors. You don't know what the behaviors are, that my perception is wrong, and that if you were to listen to the counsel of other wise people, then you would cease to exist as a person, and you don't want to do that. So I'm having to take all of that into account in my decision-making of what I think is best for my kids, and we can't have emotional health with you taking up so much of my time having these kinds of conversations. We just can't.
That took a turn I wasn't expecting. So are you saying don't sign up for this class and we're not doing our, which
Oh,
college?
I thought we had this conversation last Friday, right?
You,
not our marriage, but you as an individual, apart from me, you have work to do on yourself.
and you can decide what resources you've been offered that you want to take advantage of. And you can decide how much you want to get out of them, and you can decide how humble you want to be and how seriously you need to take your need to change and what you're willing to admit to. You can do all of that.
Things that actually happen.
Yep. You could absolutely admit to all the things that have happened, sure. But that's up to you. It's not, none of this is my responsibility, right? It's not.
Well, we're talking about joint assets, so yes. I would like you on board so that I don't hear 6 months from now, Dustin, whatever, with our money that was abusive. It was abusive for him to go to abuse class. Like,
I'm sad that you're mocking me.
I'm not mocking you. I'm serious.
No, you did. You did. You did. That was very mocking.
I am not mocking you. I'm 100% serious.
No,
to avoid that.
I'm not asking if you're serious. I'm saying that the thing that you're saying with all serious right now is mocking me. It doesn't mean that you're not serious. It means that you are taking me and you are making a caricature of me. It's pretty
awful.
I'm
making a caricature of you. I would like to have that not happen in real life.
Hold on just a second. Sorry, yeah, it was extremely mocking, and for you to caricature me and take something like going to Men of Peace, which you know that I recommended to you.
Yeah, but you also recommended I go to Honey Lake. I need to, feeling different. I'm just asking if you're feeling differently about it, if you could let me know so that I don't spend the money and time doing it.
No. When I asked you to go to Honey Lake, it was to get help with your core issues, and you did not do it.
Well, I went.
No.
I know. I don't want to go do this and say, well, you didn't do it, even though I did it. I don't want that.
Listen, you waited until you had depression, and you waited until you had anxiety, and you waited until you had PTSD, and you waited until your wife had filed for divorce, and you waited until you had decided to start drinking, and you waited until you had decided that your church family had somehow been turned against you by what your wife said about you, and then you went to Honey Lake. That's not what I asked you to do, and you know it. You know that I didn't ask you to go work on things that didn't even exist when I asked you to go there. So the fact that I picked that facility out because it's a great facility, and I love you enough to sacrifice $18,000 for your emotional and mental well-being, does not mean that you get to twist it around on me and say that I, like, manipulated you into doing that and then flipped and said that you didn't do it good enough. Like, don't talk about me that way. You're awful to me.
So if I
didn't do anything wrong. Dustin, I don't think you're going to get anything out of it, but that's your decision. None of this is my job. Going through, I could send you through probably a different program every 6 months for the rest of our life, but that doesn't mean that you change. if you decide that you want to change, if you decide that you're actually remorseful and you actually want to know what it is that
can only be remorseful for things that actually happened.
Please, I know. Stop saying that. You know that I've only said things that have actually happened.
No, we have significant disagreements about that.
Well, if you wanted to take the time to seriously investigate figuring out what you've done.
I don't have to investigate what I've done.
I'm giving you tools for that, but I'm not going to say that doing this program is somehow something that's going to allow us to go back to the status quo of you behaving all the ways you want to behave and then making me complain for an hour and a half to 3 hours about something that you did that was destructive until you make me cry and then that you say that you're sorry that it hurt me ad nauseum for the rest of our lives. Like, that's not what the program's for. The program is not to convince your wife to go back into all of the same destructive patterns because you did a program and that makes up for it. That's not how it works. The program is for
you to change. Abusive husbands, and I don't.
Yes.
All right.
That's what it's for.
To
change.
You want me to do it, and you do not participate. Is that the?
What are you talking about? I don't
you
like how you're talking. I don't like how you're talking to me. I mean, who says that?
What?
Who says that?
I'm trying to figure out
what
you're
not going
to
participate. Like, I don't understand you. I don't understand you talking down to me and blame shifting about everything. It is weird.
I don't know what you think I'm blaming you for. That's a question about something that's
going
to happen
in
the future.
Then you say, would you like to participate? Or what do you see your role being as I go through Men of Peace? Or are you comfortable with me coming to you with things that I've learned in it? Or are you going to be able to tell me directly what some of the specific behaviors are as I go through different modules? Like, those are the things that you say. You don't say, okay,
well,
you want me to do it and you're not going
to
participate. Yeah. Like, that is weird. That is weird.
If I go through it, can you give me examples when I go to different modules, please?
I'm not comfortable with you pretending that I haven't already.
I won't know what they are, and I can't work through them if they don't exist in my brain.
That's not true.
That is actually true.
No. You can search them out. You can look at yourself. And as much as you want to pretend you don't, you do have a memory.
That's why I'm asking the questions, because that doesn't sound workable to me. I'm not going to know what to tell him that I did wrong.
So...
You
don't actually have to tell him anything, right? He's not
your counselor.
Well,
then he's going
to
tell him something.
Nobody has to tell him anything. He's not your counselor. You're not accountable to him. You're accountable to Aaron Bell and C.A. McDonald and your counselor at Pacifica and me and whatever advocate I choose. That's who's going to tell you. That's who you need to go to. Chris Moles is not he doesn't need to know any of it. He's an educator. But if you're thinking that this is something that I need to be involved in, or that your change depends on me showing you stuff, that's clearly not the case. Like, I can work on myself, and I can be humble to God myself, and I can seek out wise counsel for myself, and I can listen to people who come to me to point out sin in me and hear them and change myself, but I can't be responsible for you anymore. Like, your journey has to be on you, and your change has to be on you. And your decision to be accountable has to be on you. And you being honest about your behaviors and your feelings and your actions has to be on you.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Can you remind me what's happening with Sam again, or text me later or something? I remember Saturday morning I was supposed to get the tent.
Okay.
You're gone. Hello.
Were you wanting us to save cake on Friday until you get off of work?
I would like to be part of his celebration. I can get off early, probably. I mean, I guess if he doesn't care, then no point, but... You want to just let me know?
No. Are you saying that you would like to just come Saturday morning?
No, I mean, if there's going to be cake and he would like me there, I would like to be there, like being part of their birthday. But if it doesn't make a difference and the timing doesn't work for you, then I'm not trying to hold you hostage.
It's not that the, I mean, I can wait till you get off of work. That's okay.
Okay.
I know that it has not been good for our kids to see us together. And I'm having to do my best to take that into consideration. When you're wanting to spend time around us with clearly no regard for that.
What's the problem with them seeing us together?
I mean, obviously what you did on Easter, that was really horrible. That was really horrible. That's very, 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 very damaging. Very damaging. Very damaging to children. And then the night that you kept them out till 8:30 thinking that I should come and interrupt them and tell them to leave their daddy. Around all that,
that had nothing to do with me. You put them outside and told me I couldn't talk
I'm
to you or come inside. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you were trying to goad me into making accusations so that you could blame shift. Maybe make that intention clear.
To do that.
Then you should have made that clear that if I told you how it was affecting our kids, you were going to take it as an accusation that you needed to defend yourself against. As a fair warning, please, so that I know not to fall for it. I'll just worry about
it. I don't know what you're
all on my
think you're falling for.
I'll take it into consideration. I thought that I could tell you what effect it had on them because I thought this conversation was about the children.
It is
so
about
I
the
was,
children. So if you tell me
tell you
I need the kids in by 8, which you have now done, then I will say, kids a date. You need to come inside.
I was trying to tell you what the effect was on the children. I was not trying
to
say which one of us, but I wasn't trying to say it was your fault or my fault. And when I was telling you what net effect it had on the children, you interrupted me to say, that wasn't my fault. That had nothing to do with me. You're the one who sent the message. Like, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. We're having a conversation about what the issue would be with me spending time over there, and you're characterizing what happened
with
the children being out as being my fault, and I would have had them in at 8 if you had said, send them in at 8.
That is not what this is about, Dustin. I did not characterize it as being your fault. I'm telling you that this is not good for the children. That whole dynamic of me needing to be the one to dictate to you to get the kids in by their bedtime, that's not all that good for
them. After their bedtime, so I thought they were supposed to be out after their bedtime.
Okay. But again, I'm not trying to say whose fault it was. I'm trying to explain to you what the net effect is on children, because that doesn't seem to be something that ever crosses your mind. You seem preoccupied with...
It completely crossed my mind. Why are the children outside late? But I was unable to address it because you didn't want me to speak with you. I figured you would come get them when you were ready to have them.
Okay, again...
If you tell me when to put them in...
Extraordinarily preoccupied with whose fault it is. That is bizarre.
No. No,
okay,
no,
so
this has everything to do with the children. This is just about the children. This is about the children's bedtime.
I know, whose fault it was.
No, this is just about getting the children inside when we can both agree to when it would be appropriate.
Right, whose fault is it that the kids weren't in on time? That's what you're worried about right now.
No.
And I'm it sounds like that's all you want to talk about is how it was my fault, which I'm not really worried about because I'm not really thinking about whose fault it was. I'm thinking about the children. I'm thinking about
what... the entire context of this conversation, whether we can spend time at the house with the children together?
Yes, and so I'm making a list and getting interrupted in the middle of my list. I'm listing things that have an impact on them and considering what kind of adult it will contribute to them being someday. I'm thinking about them, and in trying to tell you my list, you interrupt me and get upset because you want to make sure that I know that it was my fault and not yours.
No, I'm saying that this is a completely solvable problem if we just communicate. This is what needs to happen. There's no reason that that needs to be an issue. It's the entire point.
If you were a person that I could trust not to say, Mommy says it's time to go inside, if I were a person that you could trust to look up at the sky and go, oh, it's dark outside, let me text her and find out if I should send them in or not, okay. But I don't have that level of trust with you. I have that level of trust with other men.
It would have been less confusing if you didn't send them outside like you wanted them to be outside.
I had them outside. This is not about whose fault it is. Do you not hear that every single thing you say is about whose fault it is? If it's my fault...
You're saying that it's my fault because you can't trust me to know automatically that you pushed their bedtime back and I was supposed to admit.
No, I'm not. That is not true.
Then why are we talking about that incident? I don't... Alright, well, if that is a concern, then if you tell me when to have them in, I will bring them in. I don't anticipate being over there at night. It didn't sound like I was invited that night.
Hey.
Hi.
I didn't say it was your fault, Dustin. I'm explaining that right now the dynamic is so broken and so unhealthy.
Just making a list of the last three times that we've been in the same room as our children. And I was trying to look at it from their perspective
because that's what I always do with them. That's what I'm always thinking about with them. So when you're here, I'm thinking about it from the children's perspective. It would be really good for them to be able to go play with their daddy, and it's only 7:30, and I let them go outside. When they're outside and it's past their bedtime, I'm thinking about it from their perspective of what might happen if I text you that they need to come inside because it's past their bedtime. What might happen if I stick my head out the window and say time to come in for bed? That's what I'm thinking about, the children, and what it will look like from their perspective and how it will affect them. I'm not worried about blaming you. I'm happy to take blame for that single one minute occurrence occurring the way that it occurred at the moment that it occurred. It's fine. It doesn't really matter to me. If I had it to do over, I'd do it over again, but that's, I'm not saying that it should have happened differently or you did something wrong or I did something wrong. I'm saying the net effect on the children of us being together has a pattern of being destructive to them psychologically. And I can completely own that the last time you were here, I went outside to ask you about why you had that decal on your truck. That was completely me, 100% me. But the net effect on our children was destructive. That is really bad for them. So you're going to do things like you do when we're together, and I'm going to do things like I do when we're together, and the kids are going to be damaged by that. Then why would we keep doing it? Why would we keep being together in front of them? I think pretty soon I'm going to have to stop talking to you on the phone just because it's now happening a lot of time when the kids are here. And I can go in a different room or I can go in the backyard, but if the moment they run outside or run into my room, I'm saying the words, that's not true, that's not true, then that's what they hear on my end of the conversation. Over and over and over and over. They're running into the same theme of hearing their mother say, that's not true. That's not a normal thing for children to grow up hearing from their mother. It's not normal.
That was the intent of getting therapy, in my opinion. But I.
To get me to stop talking to you on the phone?
No.
To get me to stop saying that that's not true?
When things are true. But
that's not something that's going to change. I'm going to continue to believe what I believe. I think my main work is that I have to give up trying to convince you of it. And I have to let you have your alternate reality from me and just literally not talk about it anymore, ever.
So are you saying that you don't want me over at Sam's birthday, or you do?
I'm saying that it seems to me like it is 100% on my shoulders to take into account how things are going to affect the children. That's what it feels like when you say that I'm supposed to decide whether you come eat cake with us. And I was just saying
well, it's
that
at your
I
house,
do,
so I don't know if I'm
I know,
invited
but
or not.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I you understand that on my end, like, I'm the one having to weigh the risk and benefits on this. And you
okay.
are willing to charge into it with reckless abandon, weighing nothing, considering no risk, and having no concerns. Because, hey, if it harms the children, that's fine. I can always just turn it around and say, well, that was Aaron's fault. Like, without being more concerned about what the actual effect is.
No, I'm concerned, but I'm sorry, I'm on the phone.
Oh, okay. 35-37.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead. I got some after the meeting.
Thank you, Al. You too.
Oh, that's terrible. She should not have done that.
What happened?
Oh, Lucy took Sam's shoe off on purpose.
No. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Is there something that I can do to make that workable for you?
It sounds like overall what you really would like to do is come over and have cake with him tomorrow after work, and then come over Saturday morning and set up his bounce house.
If that works, that's why I'm asking if that...
Does that sound...
That's okay.
Right. Does that sound like that's what you want?
If it works, I'm not trying to cause a problem.
It's not a problem.
Well, you sound really worried about it.
No, I told you that I'm, anytime you ask to come over, I'm having to weigh the risk to my children.
Okay, well, I call that a problem.
Okay.
It's risky for me to come over to see
well,
your children.
Well, I guess I was just saying I would think that you would be weighing that risk, too. It's something to factor in when trying to make a decision. Okay.
Did
she hear? No. Did you? She said, Mom, I really want to swing myself on the swing up higher than I myself know how.
Aww.
You know why he says that?
Uh-uh.
Because when he says, will you push me, I say no.
Aw.
But he's reaching out at a heart level this time.
That's which one?
Which one?
Which one is the funnest that I sometimes we hope this is not.
Yeah, so that's what we'll plan on?
Okay.
Is that what you want to do?
Sure. Well, okay. As long as it doesn't cause a problem, I'm happy to be there.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I was trying to list, you know, all the effects on them, you know, so that you could be calculating and computing it the same way I do. But I don't think it's fair to be, I don't think it's fair to put me in the position of being the only one in the equation who ever, you know, cares about that seriously enough to restrict family time. That's a net negative for them. You know?
That's a what?
That's a net negative for the kids. Like, that's how I think about that. When you ask me to be the one who would have to say no in order for it not to happen, that in and of itself is an unhealthy dynamic for them.
To me, your family goes to your birthday, and the only reason I'm really asking is it's at your house, so I thought I should get your permission.
Yeah, so I'm saying, I'm just saying the awkwardness of it is the fact that I'm clearly aware that there's a high risk of psychological damage to them if we're planning that. And I'm clearly very hyper-cognizant of that dynamic, and it's sad to me that you're not, because
I don't think I'm psychologically damaging to our children.
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying that mutual presence simultaneously is absolutely without question. And I only named the last three times, and I can tell you how all three of them are going to negatively affect their adulthood. If I went back four times ago and five times ago, I'd probably have more examples. But it's something that I'm hyper aware of. And again, these phone conversations are going to have to end soon, because it's not working for them either. What?
Because they're with our children and we can't talk on the phone, then tonight. I don't understand what we're saying by we're trying to work on things. That's the opposite of trying to work on things.
So the issue is that you think that there's anything to work on together. And that's what you've got to accept, is that I'm working on me. And you're working on you.
So there is no why.
I don't know which day in August. I'm sorry. I just know which month. Sorry, buddy. August. Lisa can tell you August.
What'd you say, Dustin? I just said that I'm going to work on me. And when I work on me,
right,
that's something that will improve me. Hopefully I can become less concerned about what other people think. Hopefully I can get less caught up on, you know, worrying about whether you see things my way, or even whether we remember a particular event the same way. Because I don't at all see that as being the issue in our relationship at all. I see that as being something that you get me, or I allow you to get me caught up in talking in circles about ad nauseum, but that's not a constructive way to spend time, and it's not a constructive way to speak to one another. And I'm not concerned about it, but you do have a lot of growth to do on my end to stop that cycle. However, remove those conversations that I'm not really interested in continuing. Remove those conversations, you know, from the dynamic, from the relationship, whatever. I can look at your behavior and say that your behavior is not something I'm willing to live with. But that's where the work on your end comes in.
Okay.
So I'm not feeling like the work that I have to do on myself and the work that you have to do on yourself really are even helped by us talking on the phone. If anything, it's probably hurting my development and the work I have to do, you know, because I'm getting caught up in these conversations that I've got to learn not to do. And so, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be helping your development either, especially when it gives you the illusion that we have some kind of, you know, stuff to work on as a couple. I don't think that's the case at all.
Okay.
But I, you know, I've said a lot of times that if we could divorce, you could still do your work and then be someone who has really, truly had a heart change and behavior change, then in the future I would like to remarry. And the fact that I am losing hope in that being a possibility for you doesn't change the fact that that's something I would want.
I missed the last thing you said.
The fact that I'm losing hope in that happening, you know,
losing
because it's
hope.
Outside of, I'm definitely losing hope. Getting daily, loud daily confirmations from you that you have no interest in doing that, no intention of doing that. Was that
doing what?
Of having a major heart change, true repentance.
I've told you lots of things that I have a heart change about.
No. Nope.
I have.
No. I told you today I felt like you were blaming the finances on me, and you affirmed that that was the case. And I told you today that
I was blaming the finances on you.
Yeah, you said 50%. You said it was 50% me, the marriage.
I said you are responsible for 50% of our income, which was literally mirroring what you just said.
But... No, I'm responsible for 50% of what you're able to go out and earn. But if you're worth $50 an hour, and you go out and you earn $5 an hour, it's not on me how efficient you chose to be with that time that I blessed you with. I did nothing deceptive on my end of the financial equation. I was faithful, I was wise. I was thrifty. I wasn't going out and buying expensive items for me and the kids.
I know. That's okay, buddy.
No, I don't feel like anything you said on the phone today even gives me a hint that you have truly repented and owned what you've done and truly want to change. I don't.
But you always say that, and I've always articulated the things that I've done wrong, and
right.
I've always said that I have regrets for them and wish that I had made different choices. So,
but when you say them, you whitewash your behavior. But when you whitewash your own behavior, but when your apology,
you can't whitewash things.
You do. You don't apologize for the full breadth of what occurred. You take some small, understandable mistake a person can make, and you apologize for that.
I'm not going to apologize. But
it doesn't account for the depth of selfishness and indifference and foolishness that you were engaging in for long periods of time. The foolishness of not being willing to turn from your wickedness when people came to you and told you.
I've already said that I regret that. Oh, that advice.
Sorry. So, you can't say to me, you can't whitewash things that have happened. Like, if I'm trying to express to you that
I've expressed many times, many, many, many times for an extended period of time now that I wish I had followed that advice when they gave it to me. That would have been the
right thing. Right, but you're also trying to claim that they think too highly of themselves and haven't given you any specific behaviors. And
I didn't say that they think too highly of themselves.
You did.
No, I said that they have a high regard for their own opinion and a conflict between each other. Completely applicable for many scenarios throughout this process.
No, they're extremely, extremely humble people that you're talking about. And every single person in the world should be able to discuss their differences with one another. Especially humble people should be willing to discuss their differences with one another.
It's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah, it does. The fact that you're pointing out bad things about them as if that's not somebody
who... I said that they were bad. I never characterized their individual understandings as good or bad. I only characterized them as being substantially different.
That's not true. That's not true. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No. No, I've listened to you say all kinds of things about Aaron's poor judgment.
You have extremely poor judgment regarding not referring us to a psychological provider to assist with the cognitive very clearly taking place in that matter to identify.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with a big that's not true.
And how did he do it?
Well, I'm going to go with the prop. He didn't need somebody.
Because he's not trained.
But
he
didn't
make reality.
He didn't need somebody to resolve cognitive differences between us because he was able to.
That would make a pretty significant difference in.
But he was able to see the truth because he was there too. He was saying the same thing I was saying. He was in the room when
he the difference. He was not in the room when I supposedly raped you when we were virgins. No, he wasn't.
Did he even know about that?
Yes.
How does he know about that?
Told him.
You told him?
You told him.
Huh?
You told him. When he
I told him?
Supposed counseling.
I don't remember saying that. Did you tell him?
He talked about it after you told him.
I told him?
Also, in... Yes. Also, in the letter that I sent you...
I don't know why that has come up so much.
I talk about it a lot.
I know, but... I guess it just seemed to me like you were the one bringing it up. I don't think I don't think that that was something that Aaron was concerned about. I don't think that that was
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's a huge, glaring, obvious indication that there are cognitive disparities between what you perceive as happening in me that need to be resolved by a psychological professional and not by a pastoral.
But again,
whatever
I think
he considers himself when he's giving us advice without bothering for reality.
But when you're talking about a psychologist resolving cognitive differences, I'm pretty sure that we've been told by every psychological professional that that's not what they do. Like, Ted told me that's not what they do. Matt told us today that's not what they do. I don't think that you're really making sense in saying that the person who was there seeing the behaviors firsthand and was seeing the same thing that I was seeing was supposed to pretend that the lies that you were telling about things that you said 2 minutes prior.
I don't appreciate you characterizing everything that I say as lies when
I don't.
You just
I don't
said there's no way
everything.
For anybody to know the difference, and
but I'm,
you
but
don't need to do it that way. That's,
but I'm saying Aaron knew the difference because he was the one in the room. So you're talking about
wasn't in the room
when
we had sex for the first time when we were virgins, and now you claim that I raped you.
That's not. I'm saying that's not even what we were talking about. We were talking about pepper
what
and
we were talking
dog
about
biscuits.
When you brought it up.
We were talking about pepper and dog biscuits and picking up a Coke for Julie at McDonald's, and that's what we were talking about. That is what we were talking about. We were trying to figure out what the heck was going on with you, and you were contradicting yourself all over the place. So you're talking about somebody who was an eyewitness to what was happening between us. And he was seeing the same thing I was seeing. And now you're saying that he should have sent us to somebody who didn't see those things happen and wasn't an eyewitness to try to figure out which person the third party is going to believe, you or me. Like, that's not how it works.
I'm not trying to get
I'm not talking about our wedding night. I'm talking
one of
about
us
what
clearly has.
I'm not talking about our wedding night. I'm talking about what was happening in real time in July and August and September. I'm
talking about
in
our wedding
real
night.
Time.
When you talked about our wedding night.
I don't. Yes, I don't think so.
I'm not asking a psychologist to make us believe the same thing. I'm trying to figure out which one of us is crazy, and if it's me,
yeah,
I would like help. Want help.
I'm just
I just
saying
want...
that this is not about our wedding night. I don't even understand why you keep bringing that up.
I don't. You bring it up a lot.
I don't.
Okay.
You do.
It's also, I mean, when I bring it up, it's because it's an extremely good example of showing that clearly when events happen to the two of us, the perceptual gap of what is occurring.
But you're telling me.
So inexplicably vast.
You've been explaining to me for years that you simply didn't remember that night. I have no
idea. I mean, I remember we got to the hotel and we talked about how it was late and you thought maybe we shouldn't do it. And I thought, well, it's our wedding night. We've been waiting for this forever. And then I remember we had awkward, like, virgin sex without a lot of details. That's what I remember.
Okay. And then I feel like you've been lying to me for the past 5 years. And I have phone recordings now of you specifically telling me that you had no memory of that. And now out of the blue,
I don't have memory of raping you. I don't have a memory of raping you.
No, you told me you didn't have a memory of the experience.
No, I don't have a great
and
memory.
You were at Honey Lake when I said, that's really weird. I don't think that most people would forget their first time. And I said, it's kind of hard to
I think I have a
like,
strangely low level of detail.
What you're describing to me right now sounds like what most people would describe the first time as. It sounds normal. But that's not what you've been claiming.
You want to go right by? All right. I'll grab my phone off the phone, buddy.
Okay. I will. Yeah. So I just feel lied to because I know that you've been telling me that you didn't remember it at all. And when I told you that was really strange that you
don't
wouldn't
remember
it at all, that you wouldn't remember it at all when it was your wedding night and you were a virgin and you've been waiting that long, you said, well, my therapist here at Honey Lake thinks that that sounds perfectly normal.
Well, I described it to him how I've described it to you, and he does think that it sounds normal.
Well, it does.
Normal to me.
It does.
Thinks that it sounds
normal. What you're describing to me sounds normal, but it sounds completely different than what
you've
been telling
me. How can that sound normal when you think that I raped you?
Because for the last 5 years, you've been telling me that you have no memory of that night whatsoever.
But again, I feel like you keep bringing this up, and I don't feel like I've brought it up. I really don't.
You brought it up a lot. On the occasions that I bring it up as a tool to show that you claim that there aren't communication or cognitive differences between us that need to be understood and explored.
I know, it's really hurtful to me that for the last 5 years, I have been under the impression that you had no memory of that night because it was such a long time ago. And I feel really duped to come to find out that's not the case. And it is really hurtful that you would take something that you pretended to be so sensitive and deferential and graceful to me about, and that's just now all that is a tool that you can use to prove how bad my perception is. Like, that feels really violent.
Using it to prove how bad your perception is.
You said that that's why you bring it up. You bring it up because it's the perfect example of how different our perceptions of past events are. You bring it up over and over.
It's not a tool against you, Aaron. It's a tool to save our marriage. It's a tool to figure out what's going on so we can fix it.
That's not
going
to help. You using my rate as a way to prove that we need to get our perceptions the same is not helpful.
That's not going to save our marriage.
Well, us living in different worlds our entire life isn't going to save our marriage. I'm not trying to prove that I didn't rape you. If I raped you,
why do you keep bringing it up?
I feel horrible about that.
But why do you keep bringing it up? I really don't
because
feel like
I would like us.
Up.
Well, you have. I brought it up this time, I think.
You've brought it up a lot.
Okay.
But I didn't feel like that was.
I confused why that's the issue, or if the issue is that. What did you say?
I just don't feel like that has been a part of any of this.
It's an extremely prototypical example of how different our perceptions are.
But I feel like you're weaponizing it against me to try
to
prove something.
I do. That's how I feel, because it's not an actual factor. You're not bringing up things that are an actual factor. We're not
it's a factor, Aaron.
But it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me.
I'm not saying that the rape bothers you. I'm saying that what does bother you is that you constantly think I'm lying.
Marriage.
But that's not why.
It does affect our marriage if you constantly think that I'm lying and misrepresenting things that have happened in the past.
But the rape has nothing to do with that. But the rape has nothing to do with that.
It's an extreme example of how impossible our perceptions are.
But it was 15 years ago, and it's completely unrelated to all of this.
It's not unrelated to the fact that we have extreme differences in our views of events that are in the
Yeah, but again, we can just talk about you coming in to shred papers last week and have a perfectly prototypical example, probably a way more prototypical example, because it's more relative to how you operate your everyday life and your everyday finances and your everyday paperwork and your everyday way of interacting with me and your everyday way of talking to me and your everyday way of relating to me. Like, that's prototypical. So I don't understand why you're taking an extreme example that has nothing to do with the trust issues between us and going there to just prove how off Aaron's perception is relative to mine. And now we have completely different memories.
I'm not saying yours is off. If I rate
you. That one up. Just stop. Because what you're doing is reversing every apology you ever gave me about that incident. Like, when you just said, I'm really sorry about that, and I wish I could remember it, that was the right way to handle it. But to take what I've been through in the past 6 months at your hands and try to cover it up by rubbing my nose in the fact that you don't think you raped me over and over and over to third parties and third parties and third parties is cruel.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm trying to help.
That doesn't help. There's nothing constructive about that.
But what I recognize more than anything in this is that I'm not pushing my children on the swing. I'm not taking my children on a bike ride. I'm not reading a book to my kids. And with you in my life, that's the norm. And I'm not okay with that anymore. I need a change for their sake. I need to be the woman and the mom that God intended to be. And I can't be that with you. So I'm going to need to figure out how I can do what I'm supposed to do. And that's on me.
That means what? Go to law school and leave me?
What?
That, I guess I'm trying to understand what you're saying. You want to go to law school and leave me, basically?
I think the most well I have ever been was when I didn't talk to you, like in November and December for the most part. And I think even that
I was operating far below God's intention for me, because your Our Family Wizard messages in November and December were so horrific and distressing.
No, I don't use Our Family Wizard anymore.
Oh no, I'm saying, like, I've never actually been granted the freedom to not have my time and energy sucked into the oblivion that is Dustin. And I've never actually had my time and energy free to focus on, like, my role, just as a mom, and what most moms are allowed to focus on. So not talking to you is a very healthy thing for me. And I think that I could do even better if, during the time that I'm not talking to you, I have the bonus of you not, like, harassing me, legally. And I don't think that there's anything that you can say to me that's going to make me think that you've changed. I think that your change is real, not when you say you've changed, but your change is real when, when you show more self-awareness, and when people point out things in you, if you're not defensive. And I think that's why Chris Moles is probably so big on not denying, not minimizing, not blame shifting, because someone who's had a change of
responsibility for something I didn't do.
Someone who's had a change of heart, when they hear somebody saying, I see this in you, or you're doing this, they don't immediately bow up and try to figure out how they can prove, I can't take responsibility for something I didn't do. Like, that's not
people
that's
don't
not
take responsibility for things they don't do. And,
that's not...
And
so that's
people can't point out things that
the things that you're saying right now are indicating the opposite of what I'm saying that I need to see in order to know that you've changed. So
how's somebody going to point something out that
Just let me finish. The reflex of a person who's had a change of heart is that when something's being pointed out in them, they stop and they listen and they think about it. And you have such a strong, you have a reflex. It's like you can't even finish your sentence. The person who's talking to you cannot even finish their sentence. You interrupt the person before they finish their sentence to deny it or to defend yourself against it or to say that it was somebody else's fault. So
I never say that it's something that I do or is my fault.
I'm not talking about if there's no if. I'm talking about across the board, whether it's something you did or didn't do, the reflex reaction of somebody whose heart has changed is not going to be to interrupt the accuser and defend themselves or disprove that it ever occurred, or that's not the behavior that I'm looking for. And if you're intending to continue doing that forever because you think that that's going to fix things, then you're telling me you have no intention of changing.
But that's the change I'm looking for.
I'm telling you that I always accept responsibility for things that I do.
No, I'm not talking about for things that you do. I'm not saying for things that you do. That's not what I'm referring to. No.
Well, am I ever going to accept responsibility for things that I don't do?
I didn't say accept responsibility, did I? Let's listen again, okay? What I'm looking for to know that your change is real is self-awareness and introspection. And that when problem behaviors
I've spent the past
okay,
5 months.
You're interrupting me as though I'm accusing you of not doing these things, right? You're literally interrupting
me.
You're literally interrupting me because you think I'm making an accusation against you, and you think the important thing when you're receiving an accusation is to interrupt and defend yourself and prove it never happened and blame somebody else. You're literally
not anybody else. I'm saying the actions that I've actually taken for the past 5 months.
You're doing it. And I'm saying that this is what
I'm doing. What?
You're interrupting an accusation, or what you perceive as an accusation, with the priority of defending yourself. And I'm saying
I'm just making statements about myself.
I know, but you're interrupting me to make those accurate statements, and you are preoccupied with proving your innocence. And I will know that your change is real when you can take problem behaviors that people bring to your attention and just listen and stop the behavior and think about what that person said for a long period of time. Without feeling a need to respond verbally.
Well, I can do that right now, so.
Well, I'm going to need to see a good 6 months of that before I know that you're not just saying that you're going to keep doing that.
So you're not going to see anything because we're not going to be talking, evidently.
Well, I've got people. I've got people who you're going to be seeking out. I'm saying that, obviously, if your heart has changed, you're going to spend the next 6 months trying to repair your relationship with Aaron instead of with me. Because you're going to see that as being important, and you're going to value that, and you're recognizing that that's the person you need in your life. Because he needs to be the one bringing problem behaviors to your attention. Because, again, that's not my job. That's not a wife's job. We can't have a healthy marriage if I'm the person who's coming to you and criticizing you. I mean, seriously, how is that okay to have your wife coming and criticizing you all the time and telling you what to do? That's not a marriage. It's not okay. So you need to repair and build relationship with men who are going to be able to bring problem behaviors to your attention. And you're going to need to not defend yourself, not deny the behaviors, and not blame shift. That's how I'll know that your change is real. But you're taking feedback from other people and genuinely considering it without arguing. Because your behaviors have not improved and your words mean nothing. But I would hope that you're going to want to support me in having more time to work on me. And I would think that regardless of whether we stay married after you make the changes you need to make or whether we divorce because you don't want to make those changes, I think that regardless, I'm raising your children, so it's a common goal for me to have an opportunity with the time and freedom to develop into a healthy individual and a good mother. Can you support that either way?
What are you asking me for?
To be on board with giving me the time and space to work on myself in the ways that I think that I need to work on myself.
What does that mean as far as me?
Probably no more phone conversations like this.
Okay. So are we quitting our therapy?
No, I can do that. Because when I do that, I plan, it's on the calendar ahead of time, and I take the kids over to my mom's house, and I know they've, you know, they're receiving attention and care, and that's an opportunity for me to set aside an hour to, you know, think about these things. But, like, in a conversation like this, there's zero regard for what I might have had planned for this evening for myself. There's zero regard for what my children are needing. There's zero regard for me being able to exercise or me being able to, you know, cook healthy meals for tomorrow's breakfast or me to read the Bible or me to sit and stare at the sky or, you know what I mean? Like, there's no me in this, and there's no development coming from this. And women who don't have this kind of stuff going on with their husband all the time have the freedom of time to develop into the person they would develop into on their own, who God wants them to be. And I've never had that. I've only ever been, you know, how I like say, like, oh, I only exist to serve you and stuff like that.
So, I mean,
that's,
I guess my read on it is you're practicing divorcing me. That's what it seems like to me.
Well, I'm saying that I'm wanting to do the things that I know other women are allowed to do in their healthy marriages. And I'm saying that I would think that those are things that you should support regardless of anything. Like, regardless of if we are already in a healthy marriage and we've never had conflict, or regardless of whether you're going to make the changes that I need you to make so that I can trust you again and we're going to get back together without having to divorce, or regardless of whether we're going to divorce and I'm, you know, going to be, you know, basically here, you know what I mean, without you being in the picture, and regardless of whether we get divorced and then you do the work that you need to do on yourself and then we remarry. I mean, in any scenario, if you got a woman pregnant, then her being allowed to develop as an individual into a better mom and a healthier person and have a real walk with God, that's a mutual priority. And when I verbalize that to you, that I've never been able to be anything besides a function of you, not because I'm your wife, but because we've had an unhealthy dynamic, your response is not, oh, yeah, I'm on board for you being a healthy individual, or, oh, yeah, I'm on board to give you the time and space to do whatever you need to do to work on yourself, or, yeah, I'm on board, or, yeah, you deserve that kind of lifestyle. What I hear from you is, so basically what you're doing is practicing divorcing me. So I'm not hearing that you have the same regard for for my individuality and my personhood as what I expect from a husband. And I feel like that is
indicative. I feel like I've always valued your individuality and personhood, and I've given you a lot of freedom to in our home and time in our home to be an individual and develop. And
I'm saying you can look at our call logs over the last month. You can look at the hours. Right? And you can say, well, those are all hours that she wasn't actually living her life.
Well, if we're not going to work out our issues, the only reason I'm on the phone is to work out our issues. But if we're not going
but I'm expressing to you that we don't have marital issues to work on. I have my issues to work on, and you have your issues to work on, but there's not really an intersection for them at this point. Because my issues involve, learning to not worry about trying to get you to think my way. And my issues involve not being a bad mom by ignoring my kids' development and my kids' needs while I'm mothering a grown adult. Those are my issues that I need to work on. And then you have your issues, which involve interrupting somebody when they're bringing problem behaviors to your attention and being preoccupied with denying or defending. And those are your issues. And I can't do anything to advance that change in you. I can't. I can't. And we're way, way, way beyond the point in terms of, just going back and listening to the recordings we have. We're way beyond the point of you being able to claim that you can't work on it if you don't know what the problem is. You've got all that audio to listen to. So there's not, there's not a way that I need to be involved in your work. And there's not a way that you need to be involved in my work. It's my work. It's between me and God. But it saddens me that when I express something like that to you, your reaction is to deny and defend. I don't think that I've ever stopped you from having individuality. I'm just really concerned that you are not able to view me in a healthy way and that you don't, also share my concerns about my life being consumed with your junk.
I do. I'm happy for you to have that. Would you like me to shut down the phone server then?
You're not paying monthly, right? You're just paying by the minute.
No, the phone line itself costs $1 a month, and the phone server, if we're not utilizing it, probably costs, $4 a month.
How much?
4 or 5 would be my guess.
Well, no, we should keep that.
Okay.
Because, right now, I don't really know what else to do about this weekend besides have you, come for cake and come set up the bounce house. And so the phone server, gives me some level of security. And I don't... please don't hear me say that I've, got this all figured out and I have, this plan to cut you out and practice divorcing you. I don't. That's all stuff that I need time to even figure out that much of it. You know what I mean?
Not really.
I'm nonstop caught up in this drama of these circular conversations with you. And I don't have enough time to step back and just
think about, okay, what's actually best in this scenario? You know, in terms of like...
Saying that maybe this is a practice divorce?
No, I'm saying how much would it... I'm saying how much would it be healthy for me to talk to you on the phone? I don't know. How much would it be healthy for the children to see us together? I don't know. Are there enough ground rules that we could plan or communicate about ahead of time that would prevent awkward situations of the kids being out past their bedtime? Obviously not that, because that's already happened, but whatever unknown scenario we haven't pre-communicated about that's going to make it, you know, not healthy for, you know, like, is there something that we can put in place that's going to allow us to interact in the interim? I don't know. But I think when people have a separation in their marriage, it's not usually so that they can do this garbage we've been doing. Like, I think usually when people do a separation, it's so that they can actually be separate people for a little while. And you and I have never experienced that. We were completely enmeshed prior to becoming adults, so you don't know what it means to be an individual at all. And I don't know what it means to be an individual at all.
Because we're married, separation, we're not supposed to be individuals.
Well, so far that's not been healthy. And I am sad that you don't see me as an individual. And I think that that is problematic for you to not see your wife as an individual. I think that you often treat me as an extension of yourself in an unhealthy way. And I don't think that...
We literally are one person, supposedly, if we're married, so...
Yeah. But you don't treat yourself as an extension of me, you just treat me as an extension of yourself. So there's a whole lot of Dustin in this, and not a whole lot of Aaron. And that view, that I'm just saying, that view, the view that you have of oh, we are one person, we're not supposed to be individuals, I don't think that that view that you have plays out in a very healthy way in real life. And it probably would be healthy for you to be able to understand us as two separate people before you contemplate what those two separate people, like, imply as a union. That
okay.
would be something good for you to get out of separation, but you're not even approaching it. You're probably further from that than you've ever been. Because you've gone into hyperdrive mode of trying to enmesh our goals and interests. You really think that you can't do anything without me, and I can't do anything without you, and we got to work on us, and more than ever, you're almost obsessed with the union. And pretty unaware of there being two separate people here.
Yeah, I'm 100% unaware of that. But I guess a lot of this language that you're using sounds like it came out of some psychobabble book about how to prepare yourself.
About what?
How to mentally prepare yourself to divorce. That's what it sounds like to me. But I hope not. And give you what you want.
Yeah. I I think that that's fair. I would say that I am absolutely right now on the path to divorce. I mean, obviously I filed for divorce. And like I told you earlier, I just,
I'm losing any hope that you are going to make the changes that I would need you to make for us to be together.
I'm extremely confused other than the changes that I've already made, what you're asking me to do.
Just
to be quiet.
I didn't say be quiet. I said be able to receive feedback without denying or defending or minimizing or blame shifting.
Well, what if the feedback is incorrect?
What good does it do to interrupt it and argue with it? What does that accomplish? How has that worked for you so far?
So you're saying I should temporarily be quiet and then make the correction later, or you're saying I should always get feedback from somebody and just adopt it as if it were true and pretend it's true?
I don't know what you mean by pretend. The purpose of the feedback is to not to have a trial. The purpose of feedback is to give you something to consider.
Yeah, but you're acting like I need to let a group of other people run my life. So the goal is that they always tell me what to do, and even when they have basic facts wrong, I pretend that they're not wrong.
I mean, if that's your attitude about it, then again, I have very little hope that you'll ever be able to do that.
I'm not having an attitude about it because this is all
you're changing
into
a whole different group of people are going to run my life. Not recognizing that non-pathological people hear the phrase, receive feedback, and take
it into
consideration. I know, but normal non-pathological people hear that phrase and they go, okay, I understand what that means.
You're acting like I'm the one that's characterizing how I'm supposed to respond to it, and I'm really just extrapolating what you've told me about how I'm supposed to respond to it.
I'm saying typical people would hear that and go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's a normal way to respond to feedback. You hear it, and you take it home with you, and you think about it, and you pray about it, and you search the scriptures over it, and you do some journaling to think about, like, how much of it
I know that would be the normal way that you respond to
it.
But
you're changing it to a group of other people just run my life, and that is.
I'm not changing it. That's why
you take it that far. No, but
I'm not changing it. Based on your statements, I'm understanding that that's what you want me to be doing.
No, I'm saying what you have done so far is always interrupted people before they even finish their sentence. And you're already defending yourself or denying having done it or shifting the blame onto somebody else or minimizing the effect that it's had. And if you're doing that, then you're not doing the normal person thing of taking it under consideration. You can't. If you've already denied it before the sentence has even completed, you're not doing the normal person thing with the feedback that normal people do with feedback. And I'm losing hope that you're ever going to have any interest in that.
You've never asked me to do that, though. I guess I'm confused about what you're asking me for. I thought that you wanted me to
do
whatever the elders tell me to do.
You literally just did it.
Am I incorrect? Are you asking me to do whatever the elders tell me to do, or are you asking me to quietly consider their feedback and have my own opinion about it?
If you had spent your whole life so far quietly considering all feedback you've ever received, you would be a different man right now. Not because you're obeying somebody else and letting somebody else run your life, but because you're a man who quietly contemplates feedback. You don't know what that does to a man because you've never done it.
You just fight.
But I understand that. I'm not... The conversation doesn't have anything to do with that. I guess I don't understand what you're asking.
So I'm not talking about letting men run your lives. That's why nobody wants to give you a list, because nobody's trying to run your life.
You ask me to do whatever they ask me to do. It's different and much more manageable.
That would be fine. That would be fine. That would be absolutely fine with me.
Well, no, I don't regard that as fine, but I did regard that as what you had previously asked me to do. Just...
All right. Well, I don't know how to help you, Dustin. What you did on Easter with the paper shredder was abhorrent to any person with basic sensibilities. And what I'm saying is it shows me that your perception of interpersonal relationships is way off from the norm. It's disturbing, it's destructive, it's controlling. Based on that, you would be wise to make it a priority to listen to other people's judgment and count it as more valuable than your own judgment. And if you have that teachable spirit, if you took feedback in a humble, serious, contemplative manner, then you would be capable of making some of these better decisions. I don't think anybody wants to tell you what to do. I mean, when you go and say awful things about Aaron, he won't even make me a list, or he can't even be specific about what characteristics, or he makes all these general... It's because he's not trying to control your life. He's trying to give you helpful feedback. I know, but he does. He does. He does give you specific feedback about specific behaviors. But he's not trying to control your life. He's not trying to make you a puppet. He's hoping that you would have genuine remorse and heart change to want to seek out other... And that's something he talks to you about a lot, like counting your own wisdom as superior to the wisdom of people around you. Like, he talked to you about that a lot, and he showed you where it was in the Bible a lot. And you bucked him on it at every turn. It doesn't make sense to listen to somebody else's judgment. Nobody does that. Nobody does something that they don't think is the best. But I'm telling you, they do. This is a pathological thing here. It's
physically impossible, and no psychologist would ever... No, that's literally physically impossible, and no psychologist would acknowledge that that's an
actual possibility. They defer to other people's judgment. They absolutely do. I've done it all my life.
You cannot do that without...
That's been my whole life up until last July is what I've done. My whole life has been deferring to your judgment. I'm the last person on the face of this planet that you're going to be able to convince of this argument you're trying to make right here. Because I'm living proof. I'm living proof you can defer to someone else's judgment over your own. I know what I think is best. I know what I think is best. I know what I think is wise. I know what good judgment is. And I listen to Dustin. And I hear Dustin's perspective. And I know it is radically different from what I believe is best. And I choose to go with Dustin's judgment. I just do it. It's not impossible. I just do it. And other men do it all the time. You just do it. It doesn't mean in the back of your mind you don't go, well, if I stop and think about this, I could probably make a better decision. You understand that people have to exist in relation with other people. And if other people are going to have different judgments, sometimes one of those other judgments is actually going to work out better than your own.
I don't want to argue with you. Yes, I do want you to have more time to grow, and I want you to have a happy life.
What's that?
That I don't want to argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to have time to be able to grow into the person that you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to have a happy life, and if that's what you
mm-hmm.
be able to do it, then I understand that. It feels like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. So that's what we'll do, and I'm fine with that.
Okay. And again, a good component is for you, though, to take that time to think about how you can work on yourself without involving me in that growth.
Heard you say that a lot. I'm not sure how to do it, but I will see what I can do.
Because just take as much time as you've invested in trying to rope me into having conversations about this stuff with you, and instead try to... But instead, like, spend that exact same amount of time in prayer. Or spend that exact same amount of time trying to prove to Aaron Bell that you're a trustworthy person to engage in these kinds of conversations with. Or spend that exact same amount of time reading the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Or spend that exact same amount of time, if you think there's stuff with psychology that you need to understand or work on, or I don't know what that whole path looks like for you, or there could be a million other things. I mean, you know, there's plenty of ways to spend your time besides trying to rope your wife into fruitless phone conversations.
Not trying to rope you into fruitless phone conversations.
I know. Wow, you just did it. Did you see that?
No.
You just took that as an accusation that you needed to defend yourself against, instead of thinking about what I was actually saying, which was that you could read the Bible, right? So if you were taking what I was saying as feedback, you would hear what I said and you would go, that would have been a whole lot of hours of Bible study. If I could go back in time and trade my time on the phone with my wife for Bible study, I wonder if I would be the same man right now as I am. You know, you'd be having these thoughts and you would be contemplating them. But instead, you never even got a chance to contemplate them because your reflex was, I never said that. Or, I'm not trying to rope you into fruitless phone conversations. Do you see the difference in terms of ability to grow?
No. So if I do this Chris Moles thing, you want to be a part of that, or no?
I'm pretty sure on the FAQ it said it shouldn't matter to you.
Well, I don't...
So
it doesn't matter what should matter to me. Like, I don't understand or agree with...
I understand, but it sounds to me like you're interested in using that program as a way to rope me back into crazy talk with you. And it's not.
I don't know enough about the program to even know that is a possibility. I was assuming.
Okay, listen. What it says it all right on the FAQ, right? Each odd numbered week, there's a video for you to watch, and you probably can I would hope you could let your accountability team watch that video too, and then every even numbered week, there's a phone call. Like a conference call. But they're teaching you how to submit yourself to accountability with people in your real life. They're teaching you to stop the minimizing and denying and blame shifting. And if you can hear what I'm saying about why I need you to be able to receive feedback in a healthy way and how that's what would show me that you're actually changing, and you can go into Chris Moles understanding when he tries to encourage you not to minimize, deny, and blame shift, that that's why, not because he's pro-woman and anti-man, or going to not consider the cognitive distinctions, and like, but take it for the constructive thing that it is, and then put that into practice with the men from our church, that doesn't have to involve me.
Okay. I didn't get the impression that CA wants to be involved in that program.
I don't want to be involved in it.
I don't know if any of them are going to want to be involved in it.
CA is happy to be involved in it, but his concern was probably that by putting up the money, he was encouraging you to do something that you didn't really want to do, because you had expressed to him, he told me you expressed to him that you don't see yourself as an abuser and don't think that that program's appropriate for you, which means that you don't think that you'll get anything out of it. And you expressed that you weren't interested in the accountability model because that had been a destructive and not helpful thing for you in the past. And then you came back to him after, you came back to him after registration had closed and told him, well, Aaron's making me do it. So I think that his concern was you're showing that you don't want to make the kinds of changes that Chris Moles encourages people to make. So if you're not wanting to make those changes, it seems like you're
only going to have the foggiest idea what kind of changes he's going to ask me to make.
To stop minimizing, denying, and blame shifting. He's trying to teach you how to be willing to hear feedback and submit yourself to an accountability team with your local church body. If those are not changes that you are interested in making, then you're not going into the program for the reason that the other men have gone into the program. You're not going into the program because you want to make the changes that the program is going to encourage you to make. So if you're going into the program for a different reason, it seems like that reason might be to try to convince your wife that you're doing everything she's asked you to do. And you're trying to convince your wife to not divorce you. And so if that's the goal, is to just stop your wife from divorcing you, or if that's your goal, is just tell your wife I'm doing everything you told me to do, well, that's something that is not really good for me. And I don't think CA wants to do anything that's ultimately going to be not very good for me. I think if you're going into it for the right reasons, if you're saying, I can see that my stubbornness and wanting to buck accountability has not turned out so well for me. And I can see that interrupting people to try to defend myself or prove that they're accusing me of something I didn't do, that hasn't actually worked out so well for me. I want to change. I want to live differently. I want to actually understand this concept of considering somebody else's judgment before my own. I want to seriously consider that as being a possibility. I'm sure that people would be willing to interact with you if you're coming to it with a humble heart and a genuine desire to make those kinds of changes. I'm sure. CA just doesn't want you to enroll in it in a way that's going to further traumatize me. Keep me, you know, like I'm saying right now, keep me wrapped up in having to spend, you know, time in fruitless conversations like this. So I'm telling you that if you're going to get out of it, what you need to get out of it, you're going to be able to do that with or without me.
Okay. So you don't want to be a part of it?
That's not what I said. I said that the fact that you're trying to factor in what my involvement is going to be to help you make a decision about whether or not to do it is a big old red flag right now.
I didn't say that's a factor.
I know, but you're trying to nail me. You're trying to pin me down on whether I'm going to be involved or not. And I'm saying I refuse to answer that question because it's not safe for me to give you information that if you spend the $1,600 and say you'll do this program, now you've got me wrapped, looped back into another
amount of time each week that I'm going to communicate with you. Like, that, I'm not willing to answer that question because that's not the right reason to enter the program. The right reason to enter the program is that independent of your wife, you've decided that you want to make these changes because you can see that the way you've been living has not been working very well. And that you're willing to do the hard work that it takes to make these changes, even if she doesn't speak to you for the next 6 months. Because you know that these changes have to be made if you're ever going to live under the same roof with her. You know that.
All right, honey. Hope you enjoy your time off. Get out of it what you want to get out of it. That's good for you.
Okay. And you want to just text me when you get off work on Friday? Or do you want to go ahead and tell me?
Meeting.
Or did you want to go ahead and tell me a time?
You'll probably be there by 6 at the latest.
6 o'clock?
There earlier if it needs to be.
Did you say 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.